This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, today we are going to begin our tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, and we are going to look at Surah Fatiha over a period of a few weeks, as the tafsir of the surah can get very deep. Now, why Surah Fatiha of all the surahs in the Quran? Firstly, Surah Fatiha is the surah which we recite a minimum of 17 times a day. What do I mean by a minimum of 17 times a day? If one just prays the Fard Salah, the obligatory Salah, then one is reciting Surah Fatiha twice in Fajr, four times in Zuhr, four times in Asr, three times in Maghrib, and four times in Isha, which makes up 17. And that's without the Sunnah. Now, if you are praying your Sunnah as well, that's even more. If somebody is praying Tahajjud, that's even more. So, how many times a day do we recite the surah? And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose this specific surah to be recited in every rak'ah of every salah? It is not a mistake, it is not a chance, it's not a coincidence. It is something which is well thought of, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, He is most wise. And every decision He makes is full of wisdom. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision to make Surah Fatiha the one surah which we recite in every rak'ah of our salah is a decision which is full of wisdom. So what we are going to do, inshallah, we are going to go into the tafsir of the surah in details. You know, one of the sad things nowadays is that you'll see many of us, when we recite Surah Fatiha, we recite it so quickly that not only do we not get the benefit of it, but we don't even know what we are saying. If you have been reciting Surah Fatiha your entire life and you do not know the translation of Surah Fatiha yet, then you have not done justice to this Surah of the Quran or to your Salah. It is time for a change. It is time for us to understand the word of Allah, to know what we are saying in our Salah, so that we can gain full benefit from it. Now, Surah Fatiha is a Makkan surah. What do I mean by a Makkan surah? The surahs of the Quran are divided into Makkan and Madinan, because the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. 13 years in Makkah, 10 years in Madinah. The period before the Hijrah, the migration to Madinah, is called the Makkan period. The period after the migration is called the Madinan period. Why is it important to know the difference? The surahs revealed in Makkah, where the Muslims were a minority and still growing, dealt primarily with our aqidah, with our beliefs, and with iman, with increasing our faith, and with stories of the prophets and stories of the people of the past. The surahs and verses revealed in Medina, which was when the Muslims were a majority and in control, are the verses that deal with Islamic law in general. Most of the laws of Islam were revealed in Medina. And the laws related to jihad and running a country, etc., were revealed in Medina. So there's a distinct theme which you will find in the Makkan surahs. And that is, the Makkan surahs tend to focus on our beliefs and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the main theme of Surah Al-Fatiha. So just from the theme itself, we can see that Surah Al-Fatiha is a Makkan surah. Now, there were some scholars of the past, like Mujahid, rahimahullah, who regarded Surah Fatiha to be a Madinan surah. But this is incorrect, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Surah Fatiha in another surah of the Quran. In Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And indeed, I have given you seven oft-repeated verses, sab'an min al-masani, seven oft-repeated verses and a grand Quran." The scholars of tafsir are all unanimous that the sab'an min al-masani, the seven often repeated verses which Allah speaks about in Surah Hijr, is Surah Fatiha. Now, Surah Hijr was revealed in Makkah, and it's already talking about Surah Fatiha, which means Surah Fatiha was revealed before it, which is concrete evidence that Surah Fatiha is a Makkan surah. Many of the scholars say that Surah Fatiha was one of the earliest surahs to be revealed, right at the very beginning of Islam, because it is one of the most important chapters of the Quran. Now, Surah Fatiha, as we know it, which means the opening chapter, has many names in the Quran and Sunnah. The names of the surahs that we find in the copy of the Quran today are not necessarily the names which they had at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of the names of the Quranic chapters were not mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. That's why you will find sometimes in some copies of the Quran, the ninth chapter of the Quran is called Surah Tawbah, the chapter of repentance, while in other copies of the Quran, it's called Surah Bara'ah, the chapter of innocence. Likewise, the 17th chapter of the Quran, in some copies it is called Surah Isra, the chapter of the night journey. In other copies, it's called Surah Bani Israel, the chapter of the Israelites. So, the variation in the names is because the naming of the surah was not done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, but by scholars of Islam. Some of the names were chosen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, others were not. We find that most of the time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to a surah by its opening verse. And we see that has stuck with some of the surahs. For example, Surah Toha and Surah Yasin are named after their opening verse. But other surahs were given names to identify them by scholars based on their main theme. Now with Surah Fatiha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to refer to it by many different names, because this is a surah they would discuss often and that they would talk about a lot. So I have here a list of 6 names which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to refer to Surah Fatiha as. The first name and the most common name today is Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter. Why is it called the opening chapter? Because it is the chapter that opens the Quran. It is the first chapter of the Quran. Furthermore, it is the chapter which opens our Salah. We start our Salah with Surah Fatiha as well. So it is used to begin both the Quran and our Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also call it Fatihatul Kitab, and in other narrations, Fatihatul Quran. Fatihatul Kitab means the opening of the book or the opening of the Quran, indicating that it is the opening chapter of the Quran and of Salah as well. And there is the famous narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, La salata illa bi Fatihatil Kitab. There is no salah without Surah Fatiha. There is no salah without the opening of the book. So the word for Surah Fatiha used in the hadith is Fatihatul Kitab, the opening of the book. So that is the first two names of the surah, or we can call it 3 names, Surah Fatiha, Fatihatul Kitab, and Fatihatul Quran. It is also referred to by both Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba as Ummul Kitab, or Ummul Quran. Ummul Kitab or Ummul Quran, the word in Arabic is usually translated as mother, but it also carries the meaning of essence. So in many of the translations, I found Ummul Kitab translated as the mother of the book. I believe a more correct translation would be the essence of the book, or the essence of the Quran, because the entire message of the Quran can be found summarized in the 7 verses of Surah Fatiha. It is the essence of the book. It is telling us in 7 short verses everything we need to know for success in this world and in the afterlife. It is a summary of the Quran. It is the essence of the message of Islam. And that is why it is referred to as Ummul Kitab. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked Ubay ibn Aqab, what is the surah that you recite in every salah? And Ubay ibn Aqab radiallahu anhu replied, I recite in salah Ummul Kitab. So you can see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to refer to it by this name, the essence of the book. Another name for Surah Fatiha among the scholars is Ash-Shifa, the cure. And similar to this is the 5th name, Ar-Ruqya, the spiritual cure. The word Ruqya refers to spiritual healing, where instead of doing physical healing through medication or through vaccinations, etc., a person is healed through the Quran. Now, ruqyas are of different types. Some are halal, some are haram. But ruqya using the Quran is something which is from the Sunnah. And specifically, Surah Al-Fatiha. It has been narrated that one of the Sahaba, he would recite Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow it over an individual who was ill, and the person would get better. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard about this, he asked the Sahabi, how did you know it was a ruqya? How did you know Surah Fatiha was a spiritual healing? The entire Quran is in fact a form of healing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Quran as Shifa'u Linnas. It is a cure for humanity, a cure not only for the spiritual diseases but also for physical diseases. So it is from the sunnah to recite certain surahs and blow over an individual for cure. We mentioned before Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, that we recite Surah Falaq and we recite Surah Nas for protection from evil eye and from jealousy and from magic, etc. Likewise, for cure from evil, we can recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha has been given the name Ar-Ruqya, the spiritual cure, and Ash-Shifa, the cure. It is one of the surahs which is recommended for reciting, for healing. And for example, if someone has a headache or if someone is not feeling well, they can recite Surah Fatiha a number of times, odd number of times. Usually it's 7. And this will, inshallah, cure them. Of course, this also depends on the level of iman and conviction of the person who is reciting. The final name of Surah Al-Fatiha is the name it is referred to in the Quran itself. And that is Sab'an Minal Mathani. Sab'an Minal Mathani, the 7 often repeated verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself calls it Sab'an Minal Mathani. In Surah Al-Hijr, that is chapter number 15, verse 87, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And indeed I have given you 7 oft-repeated verses and a grand Quran." So the scholars are all unanimous. If you open any books of book of tafsir, the scholars of tafsir are unanimous that the Quran is the words in this verse, Sab'an min al-Masani, 7 often repeated verses, are referring to Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is 7 verses. The scholars differ on how to divide it into 7 verses, but they do agree it is 7 verses. For example, one of the groups of scholars, and this is including the Shafi'i scholars, they regard Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim as the first verse of Surah Fatiha. Then Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen as the 2nd verse, Ar-Rahmani Ar-Rahim as the 3rd, Maliki Yawmiddin as the 4th, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een as the 5th, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim as the 6th, and the remainder as the 7th. Other scholars, including the Hanafi scholars, regard Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen as the 1st verse, and accordingly they have divided it after that. And the last verse, Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, is regarded as the 6th verse, and after that as the 7th verse. So there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of Surah Fatiha or not. Those who regard it as part of Surah Fatiha regard it as the 1st of the 7 verses, and those who do not have divided the 7 verses differently. Nonetheless, Surah Fatiha is 7 verses as confirmed in this verse of the Quran. Now, why is this important information for us to know? Firstly, when something has a lot of names, that means that it is very, very important. In any culture, in any society, the more important something is to an individual or to a society, the more names it has. That is why in Islam, we have 99 names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the most important to us. And for the Day of Judgment, we have dozens of names. Yawmul Qiyamah, the day of standing, Yawmuddin, the day of the religion, Yawmul Hisab, the day of accounting, Al-Waqiyah, the occurrence, Al-Haqah, the inevitable truth, Al-Qari'ah, the day of great clamoring, and many, many other names in the Quran, all referring to the Day of Judgment, because it is the most important day in our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important thing in our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our relationship with Him. The Day of Judgment is the most important day of our life, so likewise it has many names. Surah Al-Fatiha is the most important surah of the Quran, and that is why it also has many names. Furthermore, knowing about the names of Surah Fatiha gives us some understanding of the benefits of the surah and the importance of the surah. Because through its names, we know that it is 7 verses. Through its names, we know that it is praised in the Quran itself. And this is the only surah that I know of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions directly and praises in another surah of the Quran, which is a very, very high honor. We know through the names of Surah Fatiha that it is a cure, it is a spiritual cure, that we can recite it when a person is ill for healing. We know through the names of Surah Al-Fatiha that the entire message of the Quran is summarized in its 7 verses. That is why it is referred to as Ummul Kitab, the essence of the book. And we know through the name of Surah Al-Fatiha that it is definitely the first chapter of the Quran, because it is called Fatihatul Kitab, the opening chapter of the Quran. So the names of the surah give us insight into understanding the surah correctly. So that is it for the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Very quickly, a recap to the names. They are Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter. Fatihatul Kitab, the opening chapter of the book. Ummul Kitab, the essence of the book. Ummul Quran, the essence of the Quran. Ash-Shifa, the cure. Al-Ruqya, the spiritual cure. And Sab'an min al-Mathani, the seven often repeated verses. These are the various names of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, what is the importance of the surah from a traditional perspective? You will find in most of the books of tafsir, whenever a surah is mentioned, the scholar of tafsir will begin by first mentioning the virtues of that surah. Sadly, over time, what we have found is that many of the narrations referring to the virtues of surahs have been fabricated. What had happened historically is that there was an individual whose name has slipped my mind. I cannot remember his name. But there was an individual who wanted people to recite the Quran more. And so he began to make up virtues for different surahs of the Quran. And these virtues became very famous. And today many of them are being promoted as the virtues of surahs, while in reality they are fabrications. So we should be very careful when we are saying that something is a virtue of a surah. We need to make sure that it is from an authentic narration. Right. For example, we know that the virtues of Surah Falaq and Surah Nas are authentic because they are found in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had mentioned the virtues of these surahs. Likewise, the same for Surah Kaf. It's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari that if you memorize the first 10 and the last 10 verses of Surah Kaf, it is protection from Dajjal. So this is authentic. This is authentic virtues of the surahs. But there are other surahs where virtues have been narrated which are not true. And when you study it, you will realize that they are actually fabricated narrations. So let us be careful, inshallah, that whenever we study or we read anything about the virtue of a surah, that we check it up with a scholar if it is authentic or not, and accordingly we follow or not, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us that whoever lies against me intentionally, let him take his seat in the hellfire. And he says, whoever narrates a lie from me intentionally, it is as if he himself has lied against me. So it is not permissible to make up virtues of the Quran. The virtues of the Quran have to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And it is not permissible to narrate something which we are doubtful of and which we are not sure is authentic. So when it comes to the virtues of surahs, it is very, very important that we stick to that which is authentically narrated. Now, alhamdulillah, with Surah Fatiha, with it being the opening chapter of the Quran, there are many, many narrations which are authentic about its virtues. The Quran itself praises it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And indeed, I have given you seven often repeated verses and the grand Quran." The seven verses here are Surah Fatiha. Now, this in itself is a virtue because, as I had mentioned, when you read the virtues of surahs, where do you read it? You read it in books of hadith. Every other surah that I know of, you will find the virtues in the hadith. This is the only surah I know of which is praised in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in a verse in the Quran and praises it. This is amazing, and this really puts it on a higher level. And subhanAllah, when something is mentioned to, when something which is already in the Quran is mentioned side by side with it, this is another important point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, "I have given you seven often repeated verses and a grand Quran." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Surah Fatiha and the Quran. This is an interesting point because Surah Fatiha is part of the Quran. And from a perspective of Arabic, when a part is mentioned next to the whole separately, then this, indicates that this is the most important part of it. Okay, this is a bit difficult thing to explain in English, but basically, Allah is mentioning the Quran and he's mentioning Surah Fatiha next to it. He's not saying that Surah Fatiha is not part of the Quran, but he's saying it is the most important part of the Quran. That's probably the best way to explain it in English. And in Arabic, the explanation can go much deeper than that. But the fact that the Surah Fatiha is mentioned side by side of the Quran with the Quran as something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is showing its high status as one of the most important surahs in the Quran. Not just one of the most important surahs in the Quran. I have mentioned multiple times already that Surah Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran. And this is not something which I have made up. Here are a few narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has said so. This narration is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and has been authenticated by many scholars. It is narrated that Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was praying salah when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him. Abu Sa'id said, "I did not answer Rasulullah because I was praying salah. So when I finally went to see him, he said, 'What stopped you from coming?' He said, 'Oh Rasulullah, I was praying.' So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, 'Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, O you who believe, respond to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life?'" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to teach the Sahabi that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls you, you need to reply immediately. Even if you are in salah, you should break your salah, go and see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling for, and then get back to the salah after that. Of course, this does not apply to us any longer, but it applied to the Sahaba. It applies nowadays to following the sunnah over worldly things, that we need to give preference to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over everything else. Because today we have amongst us many who say that I don't need to do this, it's only in the hadith, it's not in the Quran. That is not the correct methodology. The verse that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam quoted here, that, oh, you will believe, respond to what Allah and His Messenger call you towards. So whether it is in the Quran or in the hadith, if Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam call us towards something and they say it is compulsory for us to follow it. So getting back to the narration, Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu spoke to Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu and told him, "I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran before you leave the masjid." Note that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran." So it's not just a great surah or one of the greatest surahs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to it as the greatest surah in the Quran. And as they were leaving, Abu Sa'id began to worry that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will forget to tell him. So he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, you said I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Yes, it is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the seven often repeated verses and the glorious Quran that I was given." So in this hadith, there are many, many virtues of Surah Fatiha which are mentioned. Firstly, again, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to it as the seven often repeated verses, which brings us to have no doubt that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the seven often repeated verses, He's referring to Surah Fatiha. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also calls it the glorious Quran. The word Quran, which means a recital, can refer to the Quran as a whole or to parts of it. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to Surah Fatiha as the Quran, and that really is giving it a very, very high status. But the most important point to take from this hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Sa'id that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment. Every day we recite Surah Fatiha. How many of us think that we are reciting the greatest surah of the Quran? How many of us feel the power of the surah and the responsibility of reciting it correctly, with proper tajweed and slowly? How many of us understand the surah? How many of us ponder over its meanings? How many of us are moved to tears by Surah Fatiha, or feel the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we recite it? This is the greatest surah in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to recite it every single day, multiple times a day. Have we taken advantage of it? When we say that it is the greatest surah of the Quran, this is nothing small. The Quran is the greatest book in existence. It is a miracle. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself that He revealed to the angel Jibreel, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is free from error. It is free from contradiction. It is the greatest thing in existence. And from it, the greatest part of it is Surah Fatiha. So this is the greatest of the greatest. And yet we don't take it as seriously as we should. So Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran. And we need to treat it accordingly. We need to give it the due that it deserves. We need to spend time with it properly, studying it in details, reciting it with understanding, and pondering over its meanings in Salah. We will come to another narration later today, which really shows how we should be with Surah Fatiha in our Salah. So, thus far, what have we been through thus far? We have seen that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest Surah of the Quran. It is the 7 often repeated verses. It is praised in the Quran itself. It is known as the cure and the essence of the book. And it is one of the earliest revelations to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with this information alone, we should have a very high regard for the surah. We shouldn't just regard it as a ritual, that's something we recite by the way in our salah, but something which should move us, something which should strengthen our iman, something that should take us to a higher level of iman every single time that we recite it. If it is not doing this to us, then it is time for us to reevaluate how we are reciting it. And we should make our salah as real as possible, not just a ritual, but understanding Surah Fatiha, reciting it and pondering over its meanings, and letting it reach the deepest parts of our heart and move us to be better Muslims. If we pray salah and we do not come out of salah on a higher level of iman, then we have not prayed salah. We have just done the actions. The salah of the Sahaba and the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will move them to tears. Maybe we are not on that level yet, but we have to make an effort. We have to try. We have to make salah into something which is powerful and something which affects our iman. So Surah Fatiha is the greatest surah of the Quran. After the break, we will continue with more virtues of the surah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, this week we have began our tafsir of the first chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. And we spent the first half an hour looking at some of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. And we are not done yet, alhamdulillah. We have seen that Surah Al-Fatiha was referred to by Ubay ibn Aqab, one of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, as Ummul Kitab, the essence of the book. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in the last narration that we read, that Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran. And that is not a small statement. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that something is the greatest surah of the Quran, that should take our respect for that surah to an entirely new level. Going on with the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, in another narration found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, it is narrated that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out while Ubay ibn Aqab was praying. So this is the narration of Ubay ibn Aqab, which I alluded to earlier. And he said, Oh Ubay. Ubay did not answer him. So Rasulullah said, Oh Ubay. Ubay prayed faster and then went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, Oh Ubay, what prevented you from answering my call? Ubay ibn Aqab said, O Messenger of Allah, I was praying. And he said, Did you not read among the verses which Allah has set down to me? Answer Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. He said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah, I will not do it again. So it's very similar to the story of Abu Sa'id. The same thing happened to Abu Sa'id earlier. In the other narration, he was praying and Rasulullah ﷺ called him and then told him this verse. So the exact same thing happened with Ubay ibn Aqab. But then Rasulullah ﷺ told Ubay ibn Aqab, Would you like me to teach you a surah, the likes of which nothing has been revealed in the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, or the Furqan? Again, listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ubay ibn Aqab, Would you like me to teach you a surah, the likes of which nothing has been revealed in the Torah, the Psalms, the Gospel, or the Quran? Meaning in the history of humanity, in every bit of revelation that has been sent to humanity, whether it was the revelation to Moses, or to Jesus, or to David, peace be upon them all, or to the Quran, or to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, there has been nothing in the history of humanity like Surah Al-Fatiha. That's really an amazing statement. That's really a powerful statement which should shake us to our core. It should really shake our hearts when we realize that the surah, which we are reciting every day so fast, and we don't think about its meanings, and we don't give it its due. This surah is something which nothing like it had been revealed in the history of humanity, and yet we don't treat it as it should be treated. But the Sahaba were not like us. Ubay ibn Aqab was one of the best reciters amongst the Sahaba, and as with all the other Sahaba, they wanted to learn. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell a Sahabi, "Should I teach you?" they would say, "Yes, teach me." They would want to learn. They had this strong desire to learn things. Unlike us, many of us sometimes, unfortunately, don't want to learn. And that is a sickness which we need to change, because the only way for us to go back to being the best in the world is through education. The Sahaba became the rulers of the known world of their time solely because they had studied and learned under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wholeheartedly. They had submitted to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teachings, and they had taken on Islam completely. Today, many of us just want to pick and choose, follow those aspects of Islam which suit us. You know, but those aspects of Islam which don't suit us, we want to brush it under the carpet. Nobody wants to talk about certain issues because we feel it's something that we don't want to hear about. But that was not the way of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, if something was good for and it was something which would take them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would want to hear about it. If something was such that it could save them from the hellfire, they would want to hear about it. Even if it meant changing their lives. Even if it meant that they were wrong for many years. They did not worry about that. Their hearts and minds were open to the truth. And they wanted to learn in every situation. How many of us today can say we are like that? This is our first step towards getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rising up as ummah again, to open our hearts to change, to open our hearts and minds to the truth, that we as an ummah need to realize we all have our mistakes, we all have our misunderstandings, and this can only change when we sincerely open our minds towards the truth, when we sincerely open our hearts towards the idea that I might be wrong. Let me see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this topic. Let me see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this topic. Let me see how the Sahaba understood it, and let me follow that. So this is the attitude of the Sahaba. And Ubay ibn Aqab was one of the Sahaba who loved to learn, especially for the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many narrations praised his recitation and understanding of the Quran. And he told Rasulullah, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going back to our story, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave the masjid, and Ubay ibn Aqab said, "The Messenger of Allah held my hand while speaking to me, and I was slowing down so that he could finish the conversation and tell me the surah, or tell me that nothing like it was revealed before. When we came close to the door, I said, 'O Rasulullah, what is the surah which you promised to teach me?' He replied, 'What do you recite in your salah, in your prayer?' Ubay ibn Aqab replied, 'I recite Ummul Quran.'" Now, if you remember earlier, I mentioned one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is Ummul Quran, the essence of the book. So Ubay ibn Aqab was telling him, "I was reciting Surah Fatiha." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "By him in whose hand is my soul," meaning by Allah. This is a emphasis on the oath. He's swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a more affirmative way, he's saying, "By him in whose hand is my soul, Allah has never revealed in the Torah or in the Gospel or in the Psalms or in the Furqan," meaning the Quran, "a surah like it. It is the 7 often repeated verses which I was given." So we can see in this narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again was emphasizing the importance of the surah to the Sahaba. The fact that he called Ubay ibn Aqab, asked him a question to raise his curiosity, walked with him slowly towards the door to build that curiosity, and then finally let him know about this. It showed firstly his teaching methodology and how he emphasized the point. And secondly, it shows us just how important the surah is. That not only is it the greatest surah in the Quran, but it is the greatest surah ever revealed. It is the greatest part of any revelation. Because in the previous narration, Rasulullah informed us that it is the greatest surah in the Quran. In this narration, he's saying it's even greater than anything revealed to Moses, peace be upon him, or Jesus, peace be upon him, or any of the prophets of God. So how powerful and how important is Surah Fatiha? By now, if we are such that we haven't taken the surah seriously in the past, we should be moved to tears. We should cry over the fact that the greatest thing ever revealed is with us, and we have memorized it, and we recite it every day, but we do not give it its due. This is the most important part of the Quran. We need to treat it as such. There are other narrations where he said the same thing. In the same narration as it's found in Sunan At-Tirmizi, he says it is the 7 often repeated verses in the Quran which I was given. So again, he refers to it as the Quran. And in another narration, he says, Allah has never revealed in the Torah or in the Injil, meaning the Gospel, anything similar to Ummul Quran. And again, I mentioned Ummul Quran means Surah Al-Fatiha. And an interesting point, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that it is the 7 often repeated verses, and it is divided into 2 halves between Allah and His servant. Now, what is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to when he says the Surah Fatiha is divided into 2 halves between Allah and His servant? We will get to that a bit later in the program. So these narrations establish that Surah Fatiha is something special, not just for this ummah, but in the history of this world. The fact that nothing like it was revealed to any nation, in any scripture, to any prophet, should further strengthen our respect and love for this amazing and powerful surah. Surah Fatiha, another important virtue of it, is that it is ruqya, as we have mentioned. And here is one of the narrations to support that. And this narration is found in Sahih al-Bukhari, so there is no doubt about its authenticity. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, once we are on the journey, when a female servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a woman came up to them and said, the leader of our area had been poisoned, and our people are away. Is there a healer amongst you? A man who we did not know had any healing expertise stood up, and he read a ruqya for him, and he was healed. So this man, the chief, got healed, and he gave the man 30 sheep as a gift and some milk. When the man came back to us, we told him, you know a new ruqya, or did you do this before? He said, I only recited Ummul Kitab as ruqya. As I mentioned, Ummul Kitab is one of the names of Surah Fatiha. So we said, do not do anything further until we ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they asked him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, who told him that it was ruqya? So there's a variety of things to take from this hadith. Firstly, let me summarize it again in my own words. Basically, this is a story where a group of Sahaba were traveling, and they met a chief of a village who was poisoned and sick, and there was no medical experts in the area. So one of the Sahaba, who was not known to be an expert in medication, he went forward and he recited something over the chief, and the chief got better. So the Sahaba were puzzled that what did this man recite that the chief got better? And he replied, I recited Ummul Kitab. And as I mentioned, Ummul Kitab is one of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha. So he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Now the Sahaba did not like to do any act of worship which was not approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they did an act of worship, they made sure that it was something approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it does not fall into the category of an innovation. So they told this man to please don't do that again until we ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they went and asked him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of the recitation of Surah Fatiha and called it ruqya. He called Surah Fatiha a ruqya, a spiritual healing. So there are a variety of other benefits we can take from this hadith. Firstly, we can understand from here that ruqya, purification through dua and recitation of surahs, is a part of Islam. Right? This is not an innovation, it is a part of Islam. It is something that the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself have done. So if somebody calls it innovation, that is incorrect. It should be noted, though, that not all forms of ruqya are from the sunnah. We need to study this. Somebody wants to perform ruqya, they need to make sure what they are doing is found in an authentic hadith. It is safest to stick to those methods which have been authentically narrated. Number 2, we learned from here that reciting the Quran is one of the ways of ruqya. Okay, it's not just about making dua for the person, but even reciting the Quran. And this is established in the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that it is for those who believe, a guide and a healing. He refers to it as shifa, a healing for those who believe. Now, the scholars of tafsir have explained the word shifaya in a variety of ways. Some say that it refers to it being a healing for our spiritual illnesses. Others say, no, it's also a healing for our physical illnesses. So, Surah Al-Fatiha is a healing for us, as is the entire Quran. Now, another important narration related to Surah Al-Fatiha is found in Sahih Muslim and Al-Nasa'i. And it is in Sunnah Al-Nasa'i, and it is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas, let me explain to you a bit about the Sahabi so that we can understand the importance of his narrations when it comes to tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a very young cousin. He was only about 13 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. And he used to spend many nights at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house as a child, praying tahajjud with him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas, that, oh Allah, grant him the understanding of the Quran. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas would go and sit outside the homes of various of the learned Sahaba and study under them. He spent his teenage years studying under the various Sahaba until when he was still in his late teenage years, he was regarded amongst the Sahaba as an authority of the Quran. Today he is known as the greatest Mufassir of this Ummah. That from all of the people who had taught us tafsir throughout history, Abdullah ibn Abbas is on the highest level. He is the greatest of all the narrators of tafsir. And we find that once he was sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu and the elderly Sahaba, and the elderly Sahaba were a bit irritated as to why there was a young boy sitting with them. So they asked Umar, why do you allow this youngster to sit with us? And Umar radiallahu anhu asked them about one of the surahs of the Quran. And the only one amongst them who could give the correct tafsir of the surah was Abdullah ibn Abbas, even though he was still a teenager. So this is not just any sahabi that we are narrating from. This is the greatest mufassir of the Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. They were brothers, thus making them first cousins. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, while Jibra'il was with the Messenger of Allah, he heard a noise from above. So this is a very interesting narration, because we don't have that many narrations about, showing us about the angels and the interactions. When we do find narrations on the angels, it's something more interesting for us, because we are now getting a glimpse at the unseen, something which we'll never be able to see with our own eyes in this world. And in the afterlife, it will be seen. So, Jibra'il alayhi salam was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam when they heard a noise from above. Jibra'il lifted his sight to the sky and said, there is a door in Jannah being opened, and it has never been opened before now. There is a door in Jannah being opened, and it has never been opened before now. Now, picture the situation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam sitting with the angel Jibra'il. And they hear a noise, and the angel looks up into the heaven, and he says that there is a door in Jannah opening which has never been opened before. Imagine Jannah, and imagine a door in Jannah opening which was never opened before. What do you think is in that door? What do you think is behind that door? And then Jibra'il continues, he said, an angel has come down from that door. And he came to the Prophet and gave you and said, good news of two lights that you have been given, that no other prophet has ever been given before you. The opening of the book, Fatihatul Kitab, and the last three verses of Surah Baqarah. You will not read a letter of them, but you will gain its benefits. Again, this narration is in Sahih Muslim. And again, when we hear narrations like this, it should increase our iman. And really, we are talking about the angels coming down. An angel coming down and telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly about the virtues of the surah. When the angel told him that you've been given two lights, he referred to Surah Fatiha as a light. And he says it is a light which no prophet before you has given. And he mentioned two things. One was Surah Fatiha, which he called Fatihatul Kitab, and the other were the last three verses of Surah Baqarah. Inshallah, if Allah permits us in the future, we will do the tafsir of the last three verses of Surah Baqarah as well, because they are also very, very powerful verses which can really impact our lives in a major way. So these are two very, very powerful parts of the Quran, the likes of which nobody before was given. And we have it with us. The angel said that not every time you recite it, you will benefit from it. So if you recite this Surah Fatiha with understanding and with the correct intention, we will benefit from it. Now think about this. How many of us know this, that Surah Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran? Nothing like it was revealed before to any prophet. And an angel came down from a door in Jannah which was never opened before to tell Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about his virtues. This is really something which many of us can't even comprehend. It's on such a high level, the virtue of the surah on such a high level, that it's beyond the comprehension of many of us. Subhanallah. And we have one last hadith about the virtues of Surah Fatiha, which is, I saved this hadith for last because it is my favorite. This narration again is found in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it is narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira is the Sahabi who has narrated the most amount of hadith, and he was one of the latest Sahabis to convert to Islam, but he spent all his time studying under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he ended up narrating the largest amount of hadith. So he narrates to us a hadith Qudsi. So this is a hadith Qudsi, which means it's a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates to us Allah's words, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And the narration goes as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have divided the salah in two halves between myself and my servant, and my servant will have whatever he asks for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he has divided the salah in two halves. The scholars say salah over here refers to Surah Fatiha. So Surah Fatiha, we can even see another name of it is the salah, because there is no salah without Surah Fatiha. Allah says he has divided Surah Fatiha between us and him. I want you to think about this narration very carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the servant recites, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of this world, Allah replies, حَمِدَنِي abdi, my servant has praised me. Do we realize this? Do we recite Surah Fatiha slow enough to take this in? That when we say Alhamdulillah, Allah replies. Don't we want the reply of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want you to think about this when you are in salah. When you are reciting Surah Fatiha in salah, for every line, think about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying, and feel that reply in your bones, feel it in your heart, let it move you, let it affect you in the most major of ways. That when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself replies, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. When we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Majjadani abdi, my slave has declared my praises. When we say Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that my slave has raised me above all others. When we say Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. And we say it sincerely and we say it in a way that we love it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that this is between me and my slave, and my slave will have whatever he asks for. And then after that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Sirat al-ladin an'amta alayhim, the path of those who have earned your favor. Ghayri al-maqdubi alayhim wal-ad-dhalin, not the path of those who have earned your anger or those who have gone astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, he replies and says, my servant will have what he has asked for. Think about this. Every day, minimum 17 times a day, we have this opportunity to ask and for Allah to grant us, to speak directly to our Creator. That when we recite the surah in our salah, Allah replies. That is why salah is called a conversation between us and Allah. It's not in a metaphorical sense. It literally is a conversation between us and Allah. Salah, when we recite it properly, with understanding, When we recite Surah Fatiha properly with understanding, it is a conversation between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a conversation that should reach our hearts and raise our iman and take us to another level. So today, we just went through the virtues of Surah Fatiha. It took us a full hour just to go through the virtues of the surah. That's just how great and powerful the surah is. Inshallah, next week we'll begin doing the tafsir of the first verse of the surah, inshallah. And I want to go as deep as I can into the surah with us because it is the most important surah in our lives. We recite it a minimum of 17 times every day. So let's do the tafsir of the surah with justice and let's give it our all. So a quick recap of what we have learned today. We have learned the various names of Surah Fatiha, Ummul Kitab, the essence of the book, Fatihatul Kitab, the opening chapter of the book, Ash-Shifa and Ar-Ruqya, the cure, Sab'am Min Al-Masani, the seven often recited verses. We learned that it is the greatest surah of the Quran. We learned that nothing like it was revealed, ever. Nothing like it was ever revealed. We learned that Surah Fatiha, a door was opened in Jannah because of it, which was never opened before. And we learn that Surah Fatiha, when we recite it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to every line. Not just to the surah, but to every verse. For every verse that we say, there is a reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how our salah should go. When we recite salah after every line, we should ponder over Allah's reply and let it affect our hearts. Because in Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we will have whatever we ask for. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, we ask for the most important thing in this world. We ask Allah, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Guidance is the most important thing any human can have. Without guidance, we could be headed towards the hellfire. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, we can be saved from it. That's the most important thing any human. Now, any human, and I say this to anybody I speak to, I've spoken to atheists and I've told them, ask God to guide you. Because you don't want to be left without it. You don't want to be left in a situation where you're on your own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can open our hearts to the truth. And every single human owes it to himself and herself to make this prayer constantly guide us to the straight path. And we, the Muslim Ummah, have been given the great honor that a minimum of 17 times a day, we have this dua for guidance. Are we taking advantage of it? Are we asking Allah to guide us in our daily affairs, to guide us from our daily mistakes, and to bring us closer to Him? So with that, we come to the end of this week's tafsir. Inshallah, I will see you all next week for part 2, where we will look at the tafsir of the first verse of Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise due to Allah, the Lord of this universe. I'll see you all then. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.